Short version is, it's going better. We can take a break. Still some work to do. I'm required to talk about myself first and then about my employer. My work involves me fixing bugs, talking like this, doing technical support, lots of things. I do it because I really care about email and about having one internet common to the entire world. I think that's an important goal for society. Some of the work I do really because the Chinese should not have their own internet walled off from the rest of us. I used to be a Linux person back when that was really rare. It's really heartening to see how what was rare back in 1992 when I first installed Linux has become totally commonplace. There are Linux devices everywhere I live, everywhere I am, I stay. Right, I work for ICANN, which is the organization that manages the DNS route, but also a lot more. When you send packets, those packets are routed through ISPs. Those ISPs have numbers. We assign those. If we were to make a small mistake, some part of the net would break. Basically, it's a set of databases that have to be up all the time, 100%. The ones that matter actually have been up 100% for 20, 30 years now. No downtime at all. Although, perhaps I shouldn't say so, but a colleague of mine complained last year that she was one of only two people able to do some critical work and the other one was on an airplane. She got pulled out of bed to type something. In one sense, it's boring. It's getting countries to agree that the web should be one, that our routing should be one, our DNS should be one. In another sense, it's incredibly technical and exciting for people like me. Enough. I've done my duty. What I work with is Unicode addresses in email and to some degree in the DNS. Actually, yes. Addresses in the DNS. And this is an example of one. You can see that there's a Unicode string, non-ASCII string in the domain there. You can see that there's just plain UTF-8 in the subject and in the body. There's no encoding of anything, and there are two syntax errors in that message, not three. So the question is, can any of you spot the errors? Right. Guess what? The domain should have been Punicode. Wrong. You can do it like this, assuming that the software supports RFC 6531 and later. Which was not the case 10 years ago, beginning to be majority now. Dovecot added support for that last week. The syntax errors are the missing from field required and the missing date. I would say that the features are that there's no MIME encoding anywhere. The only thing that you need to do with the modern style is to specify the content type that the character set is UTF-8. Not all software supports this, but since Gmail supports it, who cares about the rest, right? I actually have presented on this, and someone in the audience wanted to test it, and it turned out that every person in the audience used either Office 365 or Gmail. Not sure what to say about that, but it saved me on that day because everyone was able to use it. I'd like to have some more support. This is Gmail, the screenshot that you see. It's the message is from Datamail. How many of you know about Dovecot, K9 Mail, Amavis, I think? Datamail is a company that forks things like that and then sells it to the biggest customer is the state of Rajasthan, and there are other big Indian customers. In order to get nice Indian addresses, I am required to hide them a little bit, but what you see here is a top-level domain, .bharat, the Hindi word for India. India as a country has 15 top-level domains, one for each of the alphabets that are in common use there, official languages. They have 15 because they have a fairly large economy, and some people speak English and some people don't. It's a society where it's perfectly possible to be a lawyer, for example, and pretty much not deal with English. So in my past existence, I was contractor. I had an accountant. The accountant might work entirely in Bangla, say, if that was in Calcutta. This is meant to give people the choice. The people who want to use English, fine, go on. The people who want to use Malayalam, Bangla, Hindi, can use that. Their choice, not pushed by the computers. This time I wanted to talk more about higher level stuff. I removed the parts where I speak SMTP. SMTP is simple, you just send UTF-8. We're getting to the point now where open source has quite a lot of support. The four open source IMAP service that I have on the top there account for something like 90% of deployments. Cyrus is most of the remaining 10%. They all have support for it, which is great for testers. It means that if you have an email client, it has become much simpler to test that this works. You also need SMTP service, of course. Again, the majority have support now. It wasn't like that 5 years ago. Becoming okay. Does anyone here like to write code in JavaScript? Okay, well, minority. I'll not talk about that then. But it does exist. Email engine, is Andres here?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Very nice work. It was a joy to test emailengine.app. That's him.
Aren't you have a typo there?
Do I?
It's modern emails. That's those two words don't go together.
Well, I'm everyone's friends, so I can say modern Qmails.
That's SQmail
and the other fork.
Okay.
I guess the SQmail people don't agree with the other fork people about what modern Qmails is, but they both have support for it.
Okay.
So fine. There are a couple of GUI clients today. Excellent. There are a couple more. If you go to China, then Michael's big competitor, a company called CoreMail, has 50% of the market and a fine client. All this means that testing is simpler. Oh, by the way, I need to say that. these are not complete lists because it would be forbidden for me to make any sort of complete list. I can give examples, but my boss beats me if I make a complete list. Also, since everyone uses libraries these days, including email engine, which uses Node, I've done some work on this. Other people have done more. Most languages these days have a built-in library or a common library. In JavaScript, Node is not built-in, but everyone uses Node, right? In Go, there's something built-in, but everyone uses Immersion. PHP, everyone uses Symfony. All of these have good support these days, except for Shell, which I wanted to show. This is a Shell script that sends email. It sends valid email. And that's all that's needed. Again, you see I specify the content type, text plain, chars it. You don't need to do anything more. There's no MIME encoding to do. It's just become pleasant. The date is the date is needed to be valid, but that's not speaking SMTP. That's right. It's speaking to user SPIN send mail with a minus T option, which will add a date. Ha!
For submission, you're not required to add a date, right?
Sorry?
For submission, you are not required to add a date, right?
Right. The question or the assumption was that for submission, which is connecting to port 587 or these days 465, you're not required to add a date. I don't remember. I should remember. I reviewed that RFC, but I don't remember. You are not required. There is a should in the RFC that says that the submission server should add date and message ID. I also wanted to talk a bit about developments now. Three standards organizations are working on this. I like to think that two of them are working on it because I've pestered people nicely. First, the ITF, which is kind of my home. It's sad to say, but some people don't want to have email addresses that can contain all of UTF-8. Some people don't like to see soft hyphens in email addresses and protest against it and don't want to implement that in their codes. So we have a couple of documents with me as author to restrict that a little bit so that, for example, web forms don't need to accept soft hyphens in email addresses in order to accept these extensions. The rough syntax is pretty much that if people can read it, if there's someone who can read it, then it's legal. If not, then it's not. So mixing something like Tana in the local part, Tana is a language spoken on the Maldives, with Canadian, I've forgotten their name, what the Canadian Indians use in the domain would not be legal because there's no community that uses that combination. We have some documents to just fix bugs and to be able to use Unicode addresses in domain contacts. And then there's a fun document to help Quebec have a domain spelt in French and one in English, because Quebec has an accent in French. Further, the web browsers are adapting the HTML standard to support web forms. Extremely important because people enter their email addresses in so many forms. And last but not least, you see the sentence here does not contain a URL. However, the magnificent program that I use to make these slides is called Outlook. No, it's not. It's called PowerPoint. Recognize that this is a URL. The way that happens is not standardized now, and it is slightly different. If you post this, for example, to Facebook, it will be recognized as a link. However, if this were a .in domain, then Facebook wouldn't recognize it for reasons. The Unicode Consortium is working on something thorough to make a sensible standard for that, which also covers email addresses, cover both links and email addresses. I would hope that when that comes out, a bunch of PHP, Ruby, Python, and Markdown software is updated to recognize domains uniformly. Right. I'm also required to have contact stuff at the end. Please do email me for anything about that, particularly if you have a problem relating to any of this. I need to know about all the problems. I wish there were fewer. Yeah. That's pretty much all I wanted to say. They extended my talk a little bit after. Oh, right. I'm required to have this as well. Even the Twitter link. Right. The question was, in the link recognition blah, do I know whether Unicode is doing some sort of database lookup to recognize domains? In the present draft, they are not. They use a fixed list, which is supposed to be updated in every Unicode version from the IANA. Since Unicode is updated fairly often, I think this is a reasonable solution. They also have a similar set of tables for which characters are permitted there. For example, if there's a parenthesis around all this, then they have similar tables published along with Unicode that say what kind of characters are parentheses that should go around the link and what should continue the link. It's all really thoughtful, but published with Unicode versions not every week. Yep.
I'm sorry I was not here from the very beginning of your presentation, but I have a question. Why do you think that Unicode in email addresses is good? Why? Because
right.
The whole world, every device uses ASCII, supports ASCII. So how am I going to type in an address of something like you had there, weird O with a slash? How would I type that in my keyboard? How am I going to contact you?
The question was, why do I think that Unicode and email addresses is good? And lots more, but that's the gist of it. The short answer is that ASCII disenfranchises a lot of people. We currently have some, well, actually I don't care very much about that particular group. We have about 20,000 domains in Russia that are used primarily for email. Now, they could use ASCII, but it's a society that largely uses Cyrillic. Over in China, we have a 6-digit, And I care more about that because I personally really do not want to fragment the internet into two along the great firewall. It's important to me personally that we have one internet and that people and that people's software can send email to other people's software. Towards the end of the question, why should you be able to do that when you cannot enter the Chinese email address? The answer to that part is that the 300 million Chinese who pretty much cannot type any A to Z except Q would not be able to read your email at your email anyway unless you know Chinese. So if you can communicate with these people, then you are able to type something that they can read. If you cannot type something that they can read, then it really doesn't matter whether you could type their email address. For communication, you need email address, you need subject, you need body text, you need all of those. Having one of them doesn't get you anywhere.
But doesn't the same apply also to numbers? You know, the numbers, we have generic phone numbers that we can call the whole
right.
world.
And doesn't the same apply to phone numbers? And the answer is that the phone numbers are pretty much bulldozing across the world. They are pushing the Arabs to use Arabic digits. That's right. Even in the countries that didn't use Arabic digits to begin with, they are pushing everyone to use digits by force. Is this good or bad? Well, I'm part of Team Email. I would like people to use more email and fewer phone numbers. But obviously, they can use phone numbers. If people want to communicate by WhatsApp, they can do that. I'm part of Team Email, and I have my opinion. If you download the PDF, those two are links. If not, I'll paste the links in the chat room afterwards. And I should have repeated the question, sorry. In the back? Question was, are encodings other than UTF-8 supported? No. There is only UTF-8. This was a design decision. There was an experiment. Debugging was too hard. After that test bed, it was pretty much decided that the only way forward is to say everything is UTF-8. We don't have anything to say which part is UTF-8 and which part is not. I'm not sure exactly what the Chinese government thinks about this. They have their own almost UTF-8, but that's how it is.
What about Windows?
Question was, what about Windows? And the answer to that, Microsoft top-level management issued a decree to everyone some 6-7 years ago saying Windows is for everyone on this world. Effective in a couple of years, all Microsoft software will support this completely. No if, no but. Do it. And it was done. Microsoft had more mail clients, more mail service than they could count. They did it for all of them. I'm really quite impressed. Then management started to forget about it, and now bugs are creeping in.
All right. Any question? Otherwise, thank you very much.
11 seconds to go.